In the name of the living God, creating, redeeming, and sustaining.
Amen.
Amen. Look around this worship space this morning. What do you see in the space that stands out? Blue. You see blue. I know some places I've been in, well, a lot of places I've been in lately are a little bit different this time of year. We have the deep blue adorning the altar. If you look over here, the two blue candles of the Advent wreath are lighted, and three are not yet lit. And that Advent wreath's just plain wood. It's pretty simple, right? Well, contrast that with what you see all around you everywhere else. Bulb upon bulb of artificial lights, Christmas trees, and if you listen, I started noticing this a couple of years ago, it's just these constant jingle bells everywhere. Listen now. It's quiet. Well, the Episcopal Church edges much more slowly toward Christmas, and it seems every year that it's more and more countercultural to do so. As we keep our spaces simple and quiet amid the bright din of the secular season all around us. But the hope that the scripture is giving us today is that the hope of life is present, whether or not everything's decorated and shiny. And that hope never leaves us, even in the darkest and most seemingly hopeless of times. That's what Advent, and especially Advent 2, is all about. Getting to the root of our life and the life of God. Now, out among the shopping malls and the online forums on the web, the battle rages with the war on Christmas. But if we're to be faithful Episcopalians, we reserve our full-on merriment until Jesus' birth on Christmas Day. And then we have not just one celebration of Christmas, one day to celebrate Christmas, but 12 whole days to experience that joy. And if you want to be a purist, if you are out greeting people on the street, the proper Christian greeting for this time of year is Blessed Advent. Just see how people respond to that. And if you listen closely to the gospel this morning, you could take the unsung role of John the Baptist to a whole new level. Just imagine a world of Christians preparing for the coming of Christ as John the Baptist exhorted the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Imagine greeting one another in the grocery store aisle. Penitent Advent, you miserable sinner! Some of you are reading the Rector's Book Club selection, Learning to Walk in the Dark by Barbara Brown Taylor, which we'll explore in more depth after the 10:30 service next week. In the book, Taylor, who's an Episcopal priest and a writer, makes the case that throughout most of history, Christians have been content living what she calls a solar spirituality. And by that, she means seek the light, avoid the dark at all costs. And that's what this theology is all about. Taylor encourages instead a theology that is rooted in Christ, in whom there is no darkness at all. The light and the day, the night and the day, are both alike. But that takes being unafraid to walk into the dark places. Taylor explained it this way in Time magazine in 2014. Darkness is shorthand for anything that scares me, that I want no part of, either because I'm sure that I do not have the resources to survive it, or because I don't want to find out. The absence of God is in there, along with the fear of dementia and the loss of those nearest and dearest to me. So is the melting of the polar ice caps, the suffering of children, and the nagging question of what it will feel like to die. If I had my way, she writes, I would eliminate everything from chronic back pain to the fear of the devil, from my life and those in the lives that I love if I could find just the right nightlights to leave on. At least I think I would. The problem is this: when despite all my best efforts, the lights have gone off in my life, literally or figuratively, take your pick, plunging me into the kind of darkness that turns my knees to water, nonetheless, I have not died. The monsters have not dragged me out of bed and taken me back to their lair. The witches have not turned me into a bat. Instead, I've learned things in the dark that I never could have learned in the light. Things that have saved my life over and over again. So there is really only one logical conclusion. I need darkness as much as I need light. Today's scripture lessons are about finding true peace in the light or in the dark. And at the heart of that peace is the scripture urging us to not shy away from edging into the shadows and into the dark. This morning we hear perhaps the best known and most loved of all the verses of the prophet Isaiah. We read or hear these words aloud, and each time we name a deep and persistent human hope for peace. And among Christian churches, we hear embedded in these words the promise of a Messiah who will establish peace on earth. Well, the image in there today, I don't think it's never stood out to me before, and this year it just popped right out at me, was the stump of the Jesse tree. The core of today's image begins with a stump, an image of despair, loss, exile, darkness. Carolyn Brown explicates the book of Isaiah. When the Babylonians conquered God's people, they burned their city, killed the most important of people, even lined up the king's sons to kill in front of him just before they poked out his eyes. Today's lesson emerges from a horrific time. They did it. These people did these horrific things because they wanted God's people to know they had no hope. Their old nation was as dead as an old dead tree stump. Isaiah agreed. It looked that way at the moment. But he reminded people that some old tree stumps send up fresh shoots that grow into new trees. And he insisted that would happen with God's people. Fast forward 800 years to John the Baptist, using the same image of the stump, an axe that's cut down a tree to the stump. No trunk, no branches, and certainly no flowers. All that remains is the stump. I think it's good to remember. Tom Bible showed me this one day. He showed me the makeup of a tree. Only 1% of a dormant, mature tree is biologically living. The rest is composed of non-living structural wood cells. My first winter here, away from the perennial summers of Southern California, I was stunned and a little dismayed by how everything seemingly dies in these winter months. This beautiful vine that grew up on our stop sign just died. I thought, oh no, it's going to be gone forever. And I grew up here as a child. I know better. But it has been a more mature learning for me to watch as everything emerges new again in the spring after the death of winter. Even this year, I experienced my second winter a similar dismay as I watched these beautiful hydrangea bushes I planted in the yard. They drooped and they died, they looked like they died as the cold hit. And my husband expressed this desperation, what do we do to save the hydrangeas? And then we looked around and observed that all of the hydrangeas in town are doing the exact same thing. What is truly alive about them isn't lost. It's only lying dormant. In the coming weeks, we will see and we'll hear the story of life emerging from the stump of the tree. The hope that emerges out of the darkness. And all around, greenery will begin to adorn this place, and it will come to life in a different way. However, the church is a place today, on the second week of Advent, where you can safely look around and you can look within at all that is not alive about you. And you can safely be someone who comes cut down to the core. And all of your losses, your doubts, your struggles, and your mistakes can gladly droop and die, like the dead hydrangea blossoms and leaves. And you have permission this week to dim or just turn off the artificial light and discard the seemingly alive but not branches of the tree of your life. We always think of that consuming fire as something scary and terrible, but it's actually a wonderful thing that takes away all of the dead stuff. It's a beautiful, bright, real light, like all-consuming, unquenchable fire. It's pretty hopeful to be relieved of embracing all that is seemingly alive but not. Stuff that beams with artificial light. Desperation disguised as happiness. And this morning we hear that deep down, there is something truly alive and authentic just waiting to emerge. So Advent 2 is a day in the church when we say welcome loss and lament and darkness. And we have this image of the axe lying by the tree that brings us down to our core. And that core is a piece of hope, of God living within each of us, from which something new emerges that cannot be destroyed. And because we have hope in what will emerge from the core, from that stump seemingly dead, we let it lie fallow, and we wait for it to emerge once again. Amen.
Amen.